Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Institute for Personal Development, where total consciousness is the new frontier. Kriya Yoga is the union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices that initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Choi, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well today. How about you?
I'm doing wonderful. Thanks for asking. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we'll be throwing our very first prana party, and you're all invited. Bring your own concept of a divinity. We'll be serving the life force in its original format in unlimited supplies. We will share many of the applications of this versatile resource and how to indulge yourself no matter where you are. We will discuss some of the extraordinary benefits of being addicted to your number one need. Swami will compare the differences between particle parties, wave parties, and prana parties. Which are we addicted to, and what are the ramifications of particles and waves? All right, Swami, we got a full show today, so let's get us started. What are we addicted to?
Yeah, that's going to be entirely up to you. It's whatever you're using to produce the feeling that you're happy, that you're special, that you're good enough. Kriyananda used to say that religion was your pivotal point. And basically, the way that I interpret that is whatever it is that we desire. And of course, one of the things that we learned in yoga was that reality was multidimensional. Things were happening on different levels. And whatever it is that I desire is really going to affect the return that I'm getting. Because one of the things I always remember hearing an expression, you can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear. And I never really quite think I understood what that meant, or maybe the meaning of that has changed with my experience in life. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that we say, you can't draw from fear and limitation and expect to become truth and wholeness. You can't draw from particles or waves and expect to become this whole person. And so in order for you to troubleshoot, basically, well, where am I drawing from? Because it seems to be a very confusing concept, this thing called spiritual. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we say here is that it's not an accident. It's not something that's going to spontaneously happen to you, but it's a direct result of changes that you may employ. That it's not magic, that it is physics. So whatever it is that I desire, you know, whatever it is that my body is longing for, it's either going to be particles, waves, or the life force. And chances are that if you have not undergone some sort of form of initiation, you're not enlisting strategies, if you haven't purified your body, purged your body of what was called the original sin, which is this pattern that we come in with, that we look for particles initially. We look for food, mother, and approval to produce the feeling in the body that we're okay. That if we haven't purged our body of our dependency upon something tangible and visible, chances are that you are still drawing from something that's tangible and visible. And in order to really make this conversion, to change your physical body to something that longs for something that's invisible and intangible, then some tampering has to take place. There has to be a departure from the pattern that we come in with. There has to be a departure from instinct, appetite, preservation, and survival. And that's where the realms of mysticism or religion or yoga came in. These were lifestyle strategies to educate people in how to separate from a dependency upon a resource of energy that was literally inert, wasn't going anywhere, wasn't doing anything. and reconnect to a resource of energy that would spark this new life.
So I just want to summarize, I mean, for somebody who has not listened to our previous shows before, so when you are talking about particles, you mean anything like in the physical world, right? I think you had just said that anything that we can see, touch, feel, that type of thing, that's what you mean by particles, right?
Yeah, particles are the manifested world. So they are tangible and visible. Anything that is tangible and visible falls under the heading of manifested. Now, underlying matter, the manifested world, is this whole realm of energy, which are things that are tangible but typically invisible. There are some people who can sense auras and things of that nature. But the realms of waves typically falls under the heading of the complementary unmanifested other part of reality. And so they are tangible but invisible. And then underlying the realm of waves is what they call the void or the nothing. It's this realm of reality where everything is happening at once. In quantum physics, some say that it's called non-locality. That it is the part of reality that we refer to as the absolute. So that's the realm, the void or the nothing, that most of the texts refer to as this concept of God. But remember, it's invisible and it's intangible. So our senses can't perceive what's before them. And so that's one of the things why in Kriya Yoga, we say that your concept of enlightenment is not an intellectualization. It's a realization. It's you actually can become spirit, you can become divine, but you can't just think that you're spiritual. And that's one of the reasons why this concept of becoming addicted to the life force literally changing the reward circuits in your brain, changing neurological pathways that move towards something that's visible and tangible, or sometimes something that's invisible but tangible, and now be attracted to something that's invisible and intangible.
Well, that was great because you answered my next question about explaining what waves were. And as you were explaining that, I was thinking about energy workers. Like myself, I've been trained in Reiki and have taught Reiki classes myself. So when we are practicing Reiki, we are actually involving ourselves in that state that you were saying, that unmanifested state, and we're just working with waves. We're not really being spiritual. We're just in that particular realm.
Yeah, that's my understanding of it. That's an energy. I mean, that's what they call it, energy work. And it does have, there is merit to it. There's no question about it, that anything has a 37.5% placebo effect. That the formula is that how we think is what we become. That thought is an energy and it's capable of producing effects. A lot of times what most of us are really looking for is permission to do something that we don't feel we're good enough to do on our own. Mm-hmm. And part of that is that we're drawing from a resource of energy that is producing this sense of limitation. We're drawing from fear and limitation. And what we're looking for is something that's going to give us belief, so that we can emit the thought with the power intention to affect changes. Because one of the things that we all recognize is that if we are alive, we do have this concept of God's love. we are connected to the spiritual realm, but we're not hardwired to it. Mm-hmm. That most of our programming is drawing from the tangible and visible, or the invisible and tangible. The concept of being spiritual really means that you're hardwired to the void or the nothing. That's one of the reasons why when they talk about this relationship, it's a mutually exclusive relationship. This whole thing of the jealous God you read about in the Bible that wants your undivided attention. Of course, that's just a metaphor, but it's the physics of spirituality. It's like attracts like. You can't draw from fear and limitation and expect to become truth and wholeness. Mm-hmm. But when you become addicted to this void or this nothing, then, of course, the like attracts like. Now, the pull is toward the void, and not the visible and tangible, or the invisible and intangible.
And you have said on previous shows that if you desire particles, anything that is tangible, then we will remain in an animal nature. And then if we desire waves, like if somebody's always seeking energy and things like this, and they become a human nature. But what we're really concerned about is desiring and being addicted to prana, which puts us into the divine nature. And this is all what we're talking about, right?
Yeah, basically. You know, it's like attracts like. And whatever it is that we desire is what will determine our nature. Because sometimes in spiritual community, they use terms like your true nature. Mm-hmm. And of course, whatever you're drawing from is going to determine your nature. But what is your true nature? Because humans are complex. There's something that's within us that is of a animal nature. There's something that's within us that's of a human nature. And then there's something that's within us that's of a divine nature. But whatever we desire, whatever our bodies long for, will determine our nature.
So I do have a question for you, and you probably have already answered it in several different ways already during the show today, and that is, what is prana, and how do we become addicted to it? I think we understand the philosophy behind it, but what exactly is prana? And then how do we get to that point where we are addicted to it?
Prana is the life force. It's this indivisible, unified energy field. And one of the things in Kriya Yoga that we practice is what we call pranayama. Now, prana, the life force, energy, thought, is what prana follows. Mm-hmm. That energy follows mind. And so the whole thing of recognizing that how we think is what we become. Now, once you understand that reality is multidimensional and there are three different sources of sustenance that I can choose from to validate myself, and you make a conscious choice that you want to draw from this life force, this invisible, intangible resource, there is some preparatory work that has to be in place. And the way that we go about it is that we recognize that if I don't get my body addicted to it, my body has all the power of preservation and survival. So if it has all the power, whatever I desire is what I'm going to go to. So we have to enlist strategies and practices so that with repetition, you can actually change the pattern of your body. You can reprogram your body to long for this void or this nothing. when you do that, changes do take place. Because when matter and mind come together with the life force, then that is what impregnates the seed of your conscious mind. Things will start to change dramatically.
All right, great. Well, let's hold on to that thought and pause to hear a word from our sponsors. So, listeners, we will be back in a few moments.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudashyate.
If you are looking for a samadhi-based experience, IPD Kriya Yoga has the goods. A complete yoga program that includes the practices and the process. Starting with the separation from mother, including the labors and tasks of the hero and the return as a whole person. Practice makes perfect only when practice is whole. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. Samadhi, or total consciousness, is experienced by knowing and doing with devotion. Call or click now and get started. 603-929-0303 or www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste.
Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So, Swami, you have said a phrase in the past by C.S. Lewis, something to the effect of that it's not God's love for humanity, but humanity's love for God. But when you look at someone, how do you know, how can you tell that they love God?
I don't think you can. Some of the things I always look for typically is the shape, the composition, the condition of the body. The body is a manifestation of the mind, a diagram of the mind. So I often will make reference to the physical body, because some of the things that you recognize is that if you love God, you can't long for a Starbucks. You can't long for a Snickers bar. That's the physics of spirituality. Like attracts like, and two things can't occupy the same space at the same time. So that people that are indulging themselves in the life force typically have a physiology that would probably be more in balance with the design of their physical bodies. And of course, who knows what that could be? What's optimal for one person might not necessarily be optimal for another. It's one of the things that we always say, there aren't any two blades of grass that are the same. There aren't any two snowflakes that are the same. There aren't any two human bodies that are identical. Part of the whole thing is that when you do make this connection, then all of this information will be downloaded to you. It's one of the things that we say, that prana brings virtue to overcome fear. It brings wisdom to overcome ignorance. Prana brings purpose to overcome selfishness. And prana brings enthusiasm to overcome laziness. So it's kind of this one-size-fits-all solution where you make this internal connection, and the next thing you know, it's like you've got all of this assistance. One of the things I remember looking up is the word Jesus means God's help. And so this whole thing of connecting to the life force, now you get all of this assistance. But to determine how, who's doing what, a lot of it, it's all going to be dependent upon what do I desire? What do I love? What's important to me?
No, I know some people talk about, you know, living in the woods or by a river, and, you know, they feel this connection to nature, and so they feel that this is their connection to spirit. But isn't it, again, that's a tangible part of their world, even though spirit animates everything and everyone, that still isn't really making a connection to spirit.
Well, to answer your question, not necessarily exactly. Because that's one of the things I always say, or it wasn't even myself who said it. I really like what Yogi Bhajan would say. He said that if you don't see God everywhere, you don't see God anywhere. Mm-hmm. Which to me was a far more accurate way of saying that than I need to live in the woods kind of a thing. That if I need an external environment or people that, again, you know, focus on these energy spots on the planet. Mm-hmm. Like when you go to Sedona and they talk about all of these vortexes and all of these places and all of this stuff that is supposed to take place in these places. Mm-hmm. You know, again, for me, That to me isn't what I'm looking for. It falls under the heading of visions, and it's part of the realms of waves, energy. Mm-hmm. And it's the void that is the constant. It's the void that gives you the different return. Mm-hmm. It's what ignites the mind-body complex.
I remember seeing a movie a few years back, I believe it was called Stigmata, and one of the messages in that movie towards the end was, the message was, look under any rock and you will find me. This is meaning God or spirit. And it was like all this drama in this movie to come down to this one point of the whole movie where you didn't need religion, you didn't need anything else external, you just, you know, look for it because it's everywhere. That was the whole point of the movie, and I thought that was actually a pretty powerful statement.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. And one of the things I always remember, I remember teaching a yoga class, and we were talking about air, the importance of breath. And one of the students in the class said, well, people don't think air is important because it's everywhere. And, you know, I just lifted my head and I looked over and I said, but isn't that what Scripture tells us about this thing called God? That it's everywhere and in everything. So wouldn't air be the closest tangible image you could find to identify with this concealed deity that we're all in search of? And the whole thing is that to sense something that's invisible and intangible, you really have to refine yourself physically and mentally. You have to separate from that herd mentality, so you have to be strong enough to walk a solitary path, but you also have to be sensitive enough to hear the call, because you're trying to sense something that's invisible and intangible. And a lot of times we get distracted by these visions or these cravings that are coming from our physical bodies to keep us attached to this limiting resource. Whereas when you become addicted to this life force, look at what you just did for yourself. If every time you take a breath, it reinforces a feeling in your body that you're happy, you're special, that you're good enough, that would be pretty stupid. Why not assign that same feeling to something that's toxic, poisonous, illegal, and expensive?
That's a great point. That's awesome. I was reading a section of the book called Initiation by Elizabeth Hayek the other day, and in it, it stated that in order to align yourself with spirit, an initiate has to do certain things, and one of those things they have to be is selfless. But then that reminded me that what we say or what you say in our theory classes is that it's not about the conduct. So I guess I'm a little confused about what does that book mean by selflessness, and then how does that relate to not wanting to have a certain conduct to get spirit in the body?
Yeah, the whole conduct connection thing is kind of an important thing to understand. It's kind of like when you drill a well, you're going to need some water in order to prime the pump. To get the water out of the well, you're going to need some of the water. So you're going to need water to get water, kind of a thing. And so conduct, see, we need conduct to make the connection. But then it's the connection that fuels the nature. It changes your nature. You know? And so the whole thing of the difference between mistaking the conduct for the connection, because like we said, prana brings purpose to overcome selfishness. See, when an individual joins with the life force, their identity starts to transcend just seeing themselves as separate. You realign with the part of you that is animating you, which is the same part that's animating everything in the universe. And when you see yourself in the context of this broader sense of awareness, you recognize that what you're putting out is what you're getting back. What you're doing to others, you're doing to yourself. But the difference is you like yourself. And you're really careful about what you're putting out. And you also recognize that you're an intricate part of this greater whole. So the concept of being selfless, in its when you are drawing from particles or waves, is that you still see yourself as a separate entity and you're trying to perform conduct. The concept of being selfless when you are connected to the life force is actually selfish, because you're putting out something with the intention of a positive return. Because you know that what you're putting out is going to affect you directly.
Well, that's interesting. So, but we still want to give service to our brothers, sisters, the people in our community to help get prana into the body, but we just have to be careful what our intention is.
Well, what's going to change is your level of consciousness, your degree of awareness. That's the difference. You could do the exact same thing, but you might, again, be drawing from particles, you may be drawing from waves, or you may be drawing from the life force. What changes is your level of consciousness, your degree of awareness, and that's the benefit of this connection to the life force. Is because you have the expanded sense of self. You recognize that what you're putting out is what you're getting back.
Right. Okay, great for that explanation. It's about that time. I think we need to be closing down our program. So I hope you all have enjoyed our Prana Party today. And please continue to visit our website, follow us on all the social media that's out there, and don't forget the online live classes that are available to you. And be sure to tune in next week to our program. We should be discussing the new moon in Gemini that's going to be on Tuesday, the day before the show. And we'll probably touch upon the religious holiday Ramadan. So, Swami, any final thoughts or comments you have for our listeners today?
I would just like to invite people to join us and take some classes and experience some of the benefits of this praying on the life force will bring you. And with that, I'll wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
And thank you. And- Don't forget, keep those comments, questions, and curiosities coming. We do enjoy hearing from you. And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.